Welcome to the Spring into Summer, our May virtual summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I am so excited to introduce to you one of the most amazing women out there, host of her own radio show, Miss Cheryl Jennings. Cheryl, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. It's a great experience to get to be with you and be on another virtual summit. The one thing that I've enjoyed about these virtual summits is that we can change the topics and talk about a lot of different issues. And I've talked about the military, and I've talked about caring for people that have special needs. I've talked about many topics, and today I really want to talk about something that will affect all of us at one time or another. As we grow older, we find that we're going to need some care. And a lot of the care that we will receive is going to be dependent on how we treat our own parents. And as our parents grow older, you know, what kind of situations are they going to face that we're going to need to be involved in? And personally, I have witnessed in my own family people that have had surgeries that went wrong and caused my father to have a heart surgery. It went wrong. He became an invalid. He had massive strokes. He was in a coma for 7 weeks, and then he was always somebody that had to be cared for the next 15 years. And I watched how my mother was taking care of my father and all of the struggles that were going on, and went back and forth a lot when they lived in Tennessee and when they lived in Texas. And here I am in Oklahoma, and at one time I've been 14 hours from them, but I would get in the car and go try to help. I have three sisters. We all lived very far from my parents, and we found out that at the time that my father was being cared for, they were in such a need for more of us being involved in their care. And so they ended up moving to where one of my sisters lived because they were the most permanently stable. And I'm telling you this because I want you to understand I've been there. I've been in the situation of losing a father-in-law very suddenly, having a child that had special needs. He had cerebral palsy. We had a baby, and we had another child at the same time. And we took in my mother-in-law to take care of her, and we ended up caring for her for 17 years. And then my grandfather had a surgery where they put him together wrong, and nothing could be done about it, and he lived for 16 years as an invalid that he had to have his food actually pureed in order for him to swallow. You see, everybody has a different kind of need, and we don't know what we're going to face. I had an aunt who had Alzheimer's, and I watched how sweet my uncle took care of her as long as he could in the home, even hiring help until he finally could not take care of her in the home. And he had to resort to getting some care outside of the home. There are other people in our family that we've actually been able to keep in the home, but we've had health care coming in and trying to help with some of the things that are overload and helping to lift or doing the things that my mother was unable to do or that some of us were unable to do. And as far as our son is concerned, he is 45, and I physically wore out before I was ready to because my load was very heavy, and we had to come to some strong conclusions that we did not want to have to face, and that was that we were no longer to take care of him out of our home, within the home. And we've had to look for home outside of where we lived, residential care, and then group home living, and now he's in a home where he has a wonderful family that's a foster family to take care of him. And I just want you to see that with all these descriptions I'm telling you within my own family, we've faced a lot of different issues. We've faced a lot of different kinds of concerns for what kind of care does this one person need. Are you able to do it within the home? And most of us are going to have to face at some time or another that as our parents get older, we're going to notice that they're unable to do a lot of things for themselves that they once did. How are you going to be able to deal with this? What kind of questions do you need to ask? How are you going to treat your parents? What kind of resources can you find out there? Maybe you can contact somebody locally, or you may have to do some research on the internet. And there's lots of things out there on the internet that can help you in dealing with specific kinds of problems you're dealing with. My mother is now 96, and she has some dementia going on, which is causing all of us a lot of concern, because she often tells us that somebody's called and needs help, or she's late for appointments, and that some doctor has called when none of it has happened. And so trying to figure out how to respect her and at the same time keep her safe and keep her from having any harm to her, and letting her continue to live in her own home as long as possible, since that's her preference, but also realizing that that's putting a hardship on some of the family members. You know, we've had to come to terms with this. And when it's your turn, how are you going to be able to face caring for your parents if you're still caring for your family? How much time will it take to care for them? Is it possible they could live in your home? Or is it something that you're going to have to find a place for them? How are you going to know what kind of a place to look for? There are all kinds of senior care places, resources that are out there, and some of them are specifically for Alzheimer's or dementia patients. There are others who choose to move from their own home that they've had for many years into what's called assisted care, or where they are more independent, but they live in a situation where they are absolutely independent until it's mealtime, and then they can walk down, take part in group meals with somebody else cooking for them. They may be able to take care of their own medicines, or they may not be able to take care of their medicines. There's a lot of questions that you need to find out about. How much is it going to cost to care for the parents? What kind of conversations do you need to have? And many times they're really tough conversations, because we find ourselves trying to find out just how, what the reality is of the situation when you're not there. And you ask questions of your parents, and yet there's some little hints that I can give you about talking to your parents. You know, first of all, you don't want to condescend to them. You don't want to treat them as if they don't know what's going on, even if you realize they're having some issues like dementia, some memory problems, and they may not always remember what really happened. But you still want to treat them with a lot of respect. And keep in mind that it's so important to not start a problem or a battle with your parent when you don't have to. You know, to be able to take care of their needs in a way that you still allow them to have and maintain their own modesty, to take care of their own toiletry needs as long as possible. And yet, sometimes the body will not function right, and you will have to begin taking care of these things. And you may need to help them with learning how to buy some kind of garment like a diaper to help them to be able to control themselves better. Or if they're eating and they are very messy with it, that you may need to help them realize that it's okay to use something like an apron instead of a bib. Or to be able to find a way to help them understand that what you're giving them in support is not because you think that they're incapable of doing something, but rather to help them protect themselves, protect their clothing, so that they stay clean and be able to not have the humility or be treated as if they are unable to care for themselves. There's so many things, words that we use that would make everything to be on a more respectful level. I can remember that there were times after my dad had his stroke, he was one of the most modest people I've ever known in my life. And yet after his stroke, there were a lot of things that he no longer was able to realize were immodest. And that would be, for instance, whenever they had company and they were all sitting in the living room, my dad had to have a diaper on, and he might just pull covers back and say that he needed to go to the bathroom right in front of company. And it was very embarrassing for us and for him. And we would have to be sitting by him and watch carefully to protect his modesty. And these are not things that you expect to take care of. They're not things that you would choose to take care of. And yet when it comes to your parents, how much do you respect them and respect them enough to treat them in a very gentle, kind, and respectful manner? You know, there are so many things that may happen that you never expected. And I can remember one time when Mother was given a lot of medication in a hospital, and everything that she was given, she was allergic to, and pretty soon it caused her to start hallucinating. This is also something that a lot of people have told me they go through when they have Alzheimer's, and they start to imagine people are in the room or that people are making a lot of noise. And some of the hints or things that I've learned from other people who've gone through this is never argue with your parent. If they have dementia and they have Alzheimer's, they're saying things that are not true, but in their mind, they don't understand what's really happening and what is something maybe they've imagined or that they've had a dream about. And those are issues that are very hard to take care of sometimes, because you may have to follow up with somebody asking, you know, did this really happen? Did you call? Did this, you know, really happen? It's just one of the things that we may be having to face one day, because there's so many baby boomers right now. But at the same time, I'm a baby boomer. But at the same time, as I'm growing older, I'm seeing my mother needs more care, more supervision, more trips to the doctor, more trips to get her Coumadin level checked. And I'm not always able to be there, and yet she would expect us to be there. I'm fortunate because there are four of us in our family, and we all try to just support each other. And you will find that as parents begin to have dementia, sometimes they start saying things about another sibling. One of the best tips I ever heard was from a family that had four in their family, and as the mother was ready to go into a nursing facility, they just sat down and had a talk with her and asked, you know, what do you want? What kind of things do you see that you're going to need to have done? And have a very honest, open talk. And let that parent be part of the conversation. But they also, out of the four, realized that only two were going to see her on a regular basis. And so what they said was that they made the two people that were making the most visits became the ones and the only two out of the four that could actually make the comments to the nursing facility. Like if the parent started saying something disappeared, They did not want all four of the children calling up a nursing home and complaining about this, or saying that the parent has said that somebody's been in the room and they're stealing things from them. What they'd agreed to do, and I think this is marvelous, is that they agreed that only two of the four would go ahead and would be the ones in charge of calling the nursing home to find out what the real situation was. And they found that sometimes the mother would complain to one child about something in that nursing home that wasn't really true. But if all four of the children had started calling in and asking questions and accusing somebody of doing something that wasn't really happening, can you imagine what kind of strain that would put on the family versus the nursing home? And this family was able to make it comfortable for the nursing home, because when something happened and it was told to one of the four children that was not the ones to directly talk to the nursing home, they would call those two brothers and they would say, this is what Mom said when I was there, when I was talking to her on the phone. Do you know if this is true? Can you find out about it? And then they would allow that one person to be able to call the nursing home and to investigate and find out. And many times what was being said to that one child was not really true. So you can imagine how much heartache it could cause and how much harm it could cause if you're accusing a nursing home of something that isn't true. It would also put a lot of strain on the relationship between them and the parent that's living there. So you, when you have a family member that is in a nursing situation or some kind of assisted care, it's good for you to decide who is going to be the one that would represent the family and call and ask the questions. Also, just to allow all four of the siblings to sit down and to talk about what the plans are and how things were going to happen and make sure that they were all in agreement was very important. This is when a lot of families start falling apart, because if the parent doesn't know what they're talking about, but they complain about the other children, the other siblings, when they're talking to one, and all of the siblings are not communicating with each other and realize that this is just something they're doing to each one on their visit, it can cause a lot of harm within the relationship of the siblings. And this happens really frequently, that siblings get into a tangle with each other over the care of a parent. They start accusing each other of things that might not have ever happened because the parent said it did. And one, for instance, I can tell you about is that I know of one lady, and she was starting to believe that the people that were coming in to help her with the care in her home each week to clean for her, that she was beginning to say that that person was stealing. Well, that lady got fired from caring for my friend's mother, and when that happened, the next ones that come in are afraid that they might be accused of it. And it was something that none of the rest of the family believed was actually true. So you see how things can get really confusing and very difficult to handle. One of the things that we need to learn how to do is when we're talking to our parents and if they say something that's really off the wall and it didn't happen, to be calm, to be in a calm voice with them, to not irritate them or get them really agitated over something that they feel like they have to defend, but rather try to backtrack a little bit, help them to search out and see what it is that they were saying, did it really happen or not? Because as parents have dementia, Alzheimer's, and a lot of other problems, they begin to have dreams or hallucinations that people are coming into their home, and they begin to think that people are stealing from them even when they're not. They start hiding objects, and then the family doesn't know where the important things are being kept. So you see there's a lot of problems that families can face. Also, you may notice that when a parent is starting to not take care of themselves like they always had been doing in their hygiene, this is a time that you may need to have some kind of a tough conversation. Just sit down and kind of help them understand and see whether or not they're really caring for themselves or if they understand that they're not caring for them. But you've got to understand that there's a time for each thing to happen. And they pick a time when there's not any other distractions or obligations to focus on something that you need the parent to really concentrate on. And I've noticed that sometimes when I'm visiting an older person, they'll have the TV on really loud, and it's hard to make a really good conversation while that TV is really loud. So you might need to offer to wait until the time is quiet, their program is over, and that they would really focus on what you're talking about. We do need to take into consideration what the issues are that they're concerned about. And sometimes it comes to a point where the rest of the family realizes that, you know, they can no longer drive in safety, and somebody's going to have to really say, you know, I'm sorry, but the time has come. We need to take the keys. We need to take the car and go ahead and do it for the sake of not only your parent, but also for the sake of other drivers who are out there that they may no longer be able to see very well, or they feel like everybody else is driving too fast, trying to run over them, and things like that, that are signs that there's something wrong. They're not able to do what they used to do. You also might notice in with your loved one that they're needing help because of financing. They're not able to do the addition in the checkbook. They're not able to pay their own bills, and there's a lot of things that they're going to need help with. They may need help with shopping or meal preparation or just even using the telephone. One of the biggest concerns that we have to have, though, is for the safety of our parents, and we need to make sure that they are safe. If they're falling a lot, make sure there's no rugs in the way, and if there are little rugs laying around, that you remove them and help them understand it's for their own safety, that those things have to happen. If you are going to need help in talking to a parent about some options that they need, you may need to get a doctor involved or someone in the medical field who is familiar with them, and they might be able to refer you to some kind of a facility that they have people that would be able to come out and visit with them in their home to see what kind of hazards there are, or to make an evaluation whether or not the time has come that they're going to need to move. If they're having a lot of falls, is it because there is something that is causing them to fall in the home? Because falls can often lead to breaking a hip, and that sometimes is the beginning of the end for an older person. We need to make sure that they're safe as far as their medication is concerned, and make sure that they're not taking more than they should be having. You know, there's just a lot of things that families will begin to notice that it's time. Now, let me just say one more thing about this. As far as the child is concerned, and for me, that would be me, because my mother is the one that we're concerned about. But I've also had a lot of health issues myself, and one of the things that I've had a doctor tell me is that I've got to learn how to care for myself before I can care for anyone else. And she's actually told me I'm no longer able to care for my mother in my home, even though that was my plan. But it doesn't always mean that you don't love your parent, because they are going to need to have more care than you physically are able to do within your own home. Because if your health is so at risk that you are no longer able to take care of them because your own health is not good, we have to learn how to deal with that without having a lot of guilty feelings and having to feel like we're failures as a child because we cannot take care of them within our own home. The fact that we can get help outside of the home and get people to step in and help us with that, we're still caring for our parents. And so we do have to be careful and not take on more of a burden than we're physically able to do, or that as a couple, if your husband and you are not able to do, if you're caring for a husband or for a wife or someone else that needs care, make sure that all people are within this planning situation of deciding how the parent will be cared for. And like I said, you need to treat them with kindness, with respect, and be careful to not just make their decisions for them, but involve them in thinking of how they are going to function on their own, or if the time has come for them to move. You know, there's so many things that are going to be hard as we grow older, but we don't need to be putting ourselves and our parents at risk and our safety as far as caring for them. If you'd like more help or more information about this, I would love it if you wanted to get in touch with me at CherylJennings@gmail.com. And my last name, well, my name is spelled CherylGinnings@gmail.com. I've written in 4 books. this past year, and I've written about the journey of having a cerebral palsied son. I'd love for you to get in touch with me if you'd like more information. And also, like was mentioned at the beginning of the program, I have a program on bbmglobalnetwork.com tonight at 8 o'clock Central Time. And all you do is go to bbmglobalnetwork.com at 8 o'clock, push the live listen, or look me up as a host. I would love to answer any questions. I'm trying to address the questions that we would have so that we can share information about how to better care for our parents, offer the support that we need to families who are caring for special needs or for someone who has some kind of a debilitating disease or terminal illness. You see, all of us are connected, and we just can learn a lot from each other. I look forward to talking to you again. Be sure and look me up on Facebook or on Twitter. I'd love to talk to you and help answer any questions you might have. If you go to CourageToOvercome.club, I have a free PDF there on tips to help you when you're caring for a child with special needs. Thank you, Tanya, for allowing me to share this today. I've enjoyed trying to help other people here.